This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
Welcome to Faith in Action. I'm Kent Blanford. In studio with me, Bridget Eyre.
Hello, hello. Good to be with you.
Bridget, you know, there are challenges in life that we're all faced with. Sometimes it's our own challenge. Sometimes it's a challenge within the family. A lot of times people are faced with illness and a family member who's in the hospital. And a lot of times that's not just in your backyard. It's could be a little ways away from you. You're going to need a little help. And today we got somebody that's going to talk a little bit about just one of the very many opportunities out there to take advantage of what's available for families who are in a crisis situation.
Yes, and today we have with us Connie Kripe. She is the director of St. Vincent House in Indianapolis. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you so much.
And for those people listening who may not know what St. Vincent House is, tell us what that is, maybe where you're located and what you do there.
Sure.
Your mission.
Sure. So the St. Vincent House is a home away from home for families where their patient is receiving treatment at St. Vincent Hospital. And we're right off the West 86th Street, the main campus there, kind of tucked back there in the woods, so you can't exactly see it from the main street. But we're back there and provide a place for the families to go, again, while their patient's in the hospital.
And I mean, if anybody has had... I had a family member who had some type of cancer, and it doesn't necessarily have to be cancer. It could be any illness where they need treatment there at St. V's. And the treatment, you don't live there. I mean, you don't live in Indianapolis per se, and so you feel terrible. You know, you're going through this whatever kind of treatment, and traveling is not very ideal. You know, so that's where you guys come in, right?
Right. And we're a 20-bedroom facility, and each room consists of 2 full beds. So that also can accommodate a family for up to 5 people. So that's also helpful. And in the rooms, there's a TV and a bathroom. We have common areas that includes laundry facilities, kitchen areas, pantries, a chapel, and meditation spaces. So it's definitely an area where families can go for respite and place where they can just take a break from that hospital and get a good night's sleep, or maybe even grab a bite to eat and, you know, do a load of laundry, just kind of what you would do if you were back home. We're very close, and we have the shuttle that goes back and forth at any time for those families.
Yeah, so you don't even have to drive.
Right.
That's even better, you know, because last thing you want to do is, you know, whatever your treatment is, you know, having to get someone to drive you there or whatever. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get into this role?
Yes, I was so blessed. My background is child development and family studies with a specialization in at-risk families.
Oh, wow.
And yes, I was in Indianapolis, the Ronald McDonald House in Indianapolis there for over 12 years, and then beyond blessed to be part of St. Vincent House. And we opened in April of 2017.
Okay.
So it'll be 2 years this coming April, where we have actually served over 5,500 families from over 20 states. And a lot of times, St. Vincent is a level 1 trauma. So if someone, unfortunately, is driving through Indianapolis and there's a car accident or some type of tragedy, then the family members could be from anywhere, from Wisconsin to California to New York. And then those families are brought to St. Vincent for their patient's care, and they're able to stay at the St. Vincent House in such a traumatic time for them.
So what is a trauma 1 facility? What exactly is that?
There are a lot of...
You didn't know I was going to ask you medical questions.
No, that's okay. There's a lot of requirements for a level trauma one.
So that's like the most severe...
Correct. And the other one is downtown in Indianapolis at Methodist.
Okay. So how do people get connected then to your facility? Like, how do you get people, or how do they find out where they can stay if they need this.
Right. So all of our, anyone that stays at the house is strictly goes through a referral process through their social worker. So when their patient's admitted, they can connect with the social worker that's at the hospital that's been working with the patient.
So then they know they're not local, or this is going to be a real hardship for them to try to get back to where they need to get to.
Correct.
So, and then what, I'm curious, what is the typical stay? I mean, and how long can someone stay? I guess there's different illnesses and...
Great questions. Yeah, so the families typically stay a couple nights at a time. We do gear the house towards more of a crisis situation. So a lot of the families will stay a couple nights, and then they might go back home if they need to, or if they need to work. The families, most people stay again the 2 to 3 nights, and then if they need to come back, they can.
And I'm sure that kind of depends, too, on the nature of their illness. You know,
sure,
what I'm saying? Like
how critical that the patient is, definitely.
I'm wondering if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Connie Kripe. She is the director of St. Vincent House here in Indianapolis, and they support people who need a place to stay when they're getting treatment at St. Vincent's. When people have a serious illness, I mean, they're dealing with so much.
Yes.
I mean, what are some of the concerns that the patients might have, you know, and how does a place like St. Vincent really support them?
Sure. We'd love to give you guys a tour of the house, because we constantly receive feedback of how beautiful the facility is. Yes, it's, as I had said, it is a brand new facility in 2017.
Can you kind of describe it for us? Like,
sure.
If we're like, pretend we're walking with you through the building. I know you have some videos up there too, so
sure.
At your webpage. Why don't you give the webpage since I mentioned it?
Sure.
Let's see what that is. Oh, it's St. Vincent. .org. It's www.give.stvincent.org/St. Vincent House. But St. V House. But if you just Google St. Vincent House, it's a little easier to get to it.
Right.
But tell us a little bit about, describe what it's like.
Sure. So we have the 20 bedrooms, and when you walk in, there's this beautiful staircase going right upstairs, and then you'll see throughout there's a lot of meditation spaces where people can gather with their family. We have common areas and just throughout the house. We also have a playroom and a library. So just other little features that are needed for the whole family.
I mean, and that's so important. I mean, because first you obviously want quiet and rest.
Yes.
But if you have kids, I mean, they need to do something.
Sure.
So it's great that you have that playroom, because, you know, you're exhausted and you need them to do something. So what's in the playroom? I'm just curious.
All kinds of fun things, from housekeeping
to Legos. I want to go to the playroom.
Yeah. We're so blessed too. We just got a playhouse outside. So once it warms up, that'll be really nice for the kids to go out there with a little fire engine that the kids can get onto. So that just got added just a couple weeks ago.
Now, we always have this little ad or this little announcement that people, you know, if you're listening and you want to give us a guest idea, we actually did have that happen in this instance where one of your volunteers who plays the piano emailed me and said, hey, Bridget, you might want to interview you.
Yeah.
Connie. So tell us a little bit about people that come in and help.
Sure. We are blessed with so many volunteers from different programs there, and we have so many opportunities that are available. One area is our Magnificent Meal Program, where groups can come in, whether it's churches or sororities, and they serve a free meal for the families. The families are so appreciative of those meals because they get to come back from the hospital, grab something to eat. When people are in the crisis, you know, they forget to take care of themselves.
No doubt.
So some of these people, they maybe haven't even had a meal. So coming back and having that free meal available is very, very helpful for the families. And I also think it's a win-win for the group, because it is fun to serve and provide that comfort for the families that like I had said, some people maybe hadn't even had breakfast, lunch, or maybe even dinner. And that's a great opportunity. We've served over 300 since we opened, which is great. We'd love to have a meal every single night for the families. I always say there's something that goes with when you're stressed out and comfort and food, and you can add chocolate in there. That just really helps the families just to take a break, like I said, and grab something to eat.
Now, what about, you mentioned a chapel. Is there any kind of organized meditation services or mass or prayer? Or talk about that a little bit.
In our chapel, it is absolutely beautiful. We don't have an actual service, but they have service available at the hospital. We do have a little podium there where families have put their own prayer requests, and we've left those out and available so the families can write prayers throughout the day.
And I know that there are a lot of other ways that people can volunteer. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about all the different ways people can volunteer if they're listening. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Ever since we've been on the air at Catholic Radio, we've always wanted to have billboards, but they just don't fit in our budget. And since you'll probably never see a real billboard for us, I'm going to ask you to do something, to imagine one. In your mind, picture a large, empty billboard. Yeah, that's it. Now pick a background color, any color at all. Okay, then across the top of your billboard, put just two words, Catholic Radio. Make them really big. Then below that, in even bigger letters, put 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Wow, that's a great billboard. Now, if this billboard were real, all of your friends and neighbors could see it, and they'd know all about Catholic Radio. But since it's only an imaginary billboard, we're going to have to depend on you to tell your friends about Catholic Radio. Remember, Catholic Radio 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Oh, and by the way, nice choice on that background color. It really looks good.
My 7-year-old girl asked me recently, "Daddy, why does the devil hate us?" I thought of the simplest answer I could give. "Because he hates God and we look like God." Her face lit up. "Wow, we look like God?" And as she said those words, I realized, whoa, we look like God. Look, we're made in the image and likeness of God. How many times have I heard that or said it? But seeing that reality through the eyes of my child reminded me just how profound it is. When Adam first laid eyes on another human being, her deep, intelligent eyes, walking upright with gentle grace and a dignity that said, "I'm master over all this creation." Man, he may have been tempted to bow down and worship. As the psalmist said, "You've made us little less than a God." You've probably been amazed at mountains, oceans, and stars, but what about you? Stop for a minute today and marvel at the wonder of you. I'm sure God does. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Aaron. In the studio with me is the production manager, Kent Blanford, at my side. And our guest today, we are talking with Connie Kripe. She is the director of St. Vincent House. And this is a place where when people have a serious illness, being treated at St. Vincent's on 86th Street, St. Vincent House is a way to support them if they need a place to live. So Connie, what are some of the ways we've talked about food and just a quiet place to recover. What are some of the other ways that help reduce stress?
Sure. Like you said, the food, even being able to do a load of laundry. Some of these families have just come with what they have on. So just being able to do some laundry, grab a meal, a snack, and the biggest thing, showering and just sleeping. Because some of these people aren't unable to sleep at bedside just with all the noise and commotion at the hospital. So just getting a good night, quiet rest is so important.
And people that are listening, they may not have anybody that has a serious illness that is at the St. Vincent House, but they want to help.
Sure.
How can people that are listening help?
Yes.
I know there's lots of volunteer opportunities. So I want you to give me some details about the ways to volunteer and what you can do.
Sure. We have all of our, that we had mentioned on our website, all of the ways that you can volunteer. One area is the Magnificent Meal Program, where you come in and serve a meal for the families. And it's really user-friendly. We have a quick question and answer sheet of what to expect and how many people to serve. So we try to make it easy if someone wanted to do that. The other area is our Helping Hands, where there might be groups that come in, do some outdoor landscaping, just wiping down the toys in the playroom, more of a lighthouse housekeeping. So that's kind of another area,
and something like that where you can bring your group, like your you know, your Boy Scout troop, or your, you know, your Little Flowers group, or whatever, you know, the Christ Renews group, or, you know, from your parish, or just get a group of friends together to do something like that.
Yes, it's a great way to give back.
You know, one of the things that I'd like to bring up is the fact that there are a lot of folks out there who would like to volunteer in a situation like this. They're not comfortable volunteering like in a hospital setting. This really isn't, you're not going to be working with the patients. The patients are over in the hospital.
Correct.
You're working with their families. So you're not actually, you're not going to be expected to deal with patients and deal with, you know, be in the way of the doctors and things like that. This is a situation where it's kind of like, you know, you have extended family coming into town and you get to help them out. So you get the chance to, you know, help them with the laundry, help them with, you know, keeping the place clean and those kinds of things. Just give them somebody to talk to. Those are the kinds of opportunities that are there in this kind of a situation that, you know, you're helping out, you're helping the patient because you're helping their family.
And it's so hard when you are the person that is the family member, you know, because there's a lot of stress on them, a lot of worry, and sometimes you feel so helpless when there's someone that's sick and they're getting care, but you feel so helpless.
Well, and one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is the fact that many, many times if a patient's in the hospital and they're in serious critical condition, those kinds of things, the patient, you know, may not even be aware of what's happening to them, but their family sure is.
Right.
And that's where the family needs the support.
So what exactly is your capacity and what is your need in terms of, like how many, you mentioned 20 beds. I mean, are you full like all the time or what's that like?
Yeah, we're almost full every single night. And
wow.
That's why most people are there only two or three nights, because the families are so courteous that they know that there might be another family that needs it just as, you know, just as they do too. So we kind of try to do that to limit a couple of nights and then let someone else in just because we only have the 20 rooms available. And we do have wait lists lots of nights throughout the week for sure.
So what's it like for you? Tell us a little bit about your role and what you do. And I'm sure you meet like so many neat people, and I'm sure you have like all these great stories.
When I feel like I have the best job in the whole wide world. It's such a blessing to be able to give back every single day and to do God's work daily. So I feel like I'm never working. And it is, we meet so
many.
That's
a good fit for a job when you know, when you love coming to your job. Kent and I know about that because we love coming to Catholic Radio and talking. Don't we, Kent?
Absolutely. Gets me out of the house.
Me too.
But there are so many stories, because the families, when they check in, a lot of times under the stress, and they're able to be, as we say, back home and are able to, you know, let down their guard and talk about what's going on. And so they're not in front of the doctor or the nurse or the patient. You know, they might have to be strong and try to pull it together just so they're not crying in front of the patient. And then when they come back to the house, a lot of times there's all types of emotions, you know, whether check in or check out, they're able to be able to talk to someone at the desk and just tell them, you know, what's going on in their own day.
I'm sure you spend a lot of time listening, right?
Yes.
So what's it like for you though, in terms of, you know, how it impacts you and how you see them impacted? What, let's start with the impact on them. What kind of impact do you see it having on them being there and not having to go home and all that, and the kids, and the, you know, mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Yes, I always say if we just had a little camera at checkout, because we constantly, the feedback we receive is, thank you so much. This is such a blessing from these people that are traveling so far away. they feel safe, they feel secure because it's so close. It's walking distance too, if they, you know, obviously it's been snowing, but with the shuttle going back and forth, they feel safe, they feel secure, and that's what the house represents, is the respite for these families going back and forth to the hospital. And so it is rewarding to be able to work there, and all the volunteers that we have are so gracious of their time to give back to these families. But we constantly receive great feedback from our guests, and they're just so thankful for a bed and a place to go.
Now, there's no charge, right? So St. Vincent House provides this to these patients basically free of charge, which I'm sure also helps with the stress.
Sure. We do ask for a $20 donation per night. If the family is not able to pay for that, of course, we will waive the fee. And we find that families that check out sometimes even give more than the $20 and pay for other families because they see that some families are in greater need. So we find that amazing too, that people are constantly giving donations. And from the community, that's how we are being supportive, is from all different types of groups.
But even $20, I mean, if you were to stay at a hotel, I mean, you'd be spending $100 a night plus, you know.
That covers the vending machine.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
You know about that, Kent, right?
Well, I traveled a lot in my time, and yeah, hotel vending machines, never mind.
So people can, in addition to volunteering, they can offer financial support. So, how would they do that?
Sure. So when we went back to our website, we're located off the St. Vincent Foundation webpage, and how to make a contribution or donation, everything's right there. And you can call us, our number's there too. So we can take a call at any time. Someone is at the house 24/7.
So is there like a particular story of a family that really touched you, or just some kids, and just how they interacted with each other, or how they, I'm sure you have like so many good stories that you could think of to share with us. Just maybe think of one story that you could share with us about how it just really just touched the family.
Sure. There are, like you said, there are so many. I think one in particular, there was a gentleman, this is when we had first opened, and we're just trying to make sure we have like all the supplies and just normal day to day for, you know, like a house. And I was like, oh, we're out of cups for the coffee. And this gentleman that was there, he had overheard me say that. So he actually went up to the store and bought a bunch of cups. And I was like, you do not need to do that. When I'm turning around and we're stocking the cups, and he's like, this is nothing. My wife just woke up out of a coma and I wanted to give back. And I was just like, oh my goodness, talk about put in perspective. We were just more worried, you know, just making sure people had coffee. And it was just incredible, because those are the type of families that we serve. They're the people, the guests that are staying there are incredible, and they have their own situation going on. And this guy just went up the street and bought a bunch of cups. And so everyone had coffee for the house.
Now, I know with the families that you're dealing with, because the St. Vincent Hospital covers such a wide area of patients. I mean, you have everything from the Peyton Manning Children's Hospital. I'm sure you probably have a lot of families that are there because they have a child in the hospital.
Right.
You have families that are there because of an accident, things along those lines. And then I know there's also hospice care going on there at St. Vincent's. So it's a matter of you're dealing with families literally from, you know, those who are, you know, the newborn who might be in a NICU,
you know,
all the way to those who might be at the end of life. And the folks who work for you there at the house must be, something special to be able to deal with that wide a variety of family.
Definitely. We have incredible, from the volunteers to the staff, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So how many staff and volunteers do you need to help to run this?
Right. We can always use help. We can always use the volunteers. So we have what's called a gracious greeter, and they work a shift about every other week. So it's about twice a month, a 3-hour shift. We have about 40 to 45 of those that are ongoing, and they like the commitment of twice a month. And then we have more of the range, whether you're serving a meal or doing more of a side project for the house. So we have all those available. So we have
overall,
several.
How many volunteers would you say you have roughly?
Oh, definitely over 300 since we've opened of ongoing volunteers.
And then what about staff? How many staff?
we currently have a 4 staff that are there.
Wow, you guys are working miracles over there. The miracle of multiplication, right?
They're doing the same thing we do here at Catholic Radio Indy. Yeah, run a big operation with as little staff as can do it.
the church is really good at doing that kind of stuff, aren't they?
Well, it's all in the economy of people.
So in terms of your faith life, I'm sure it's really had an impact on you in terms of just seeing all that you do for 2 years now, right?
Yes.
What's that been like?
It has been incredible. My relationship with God is obviously stronger than it's ever been. And being part of an organization where, you know, we can pray and reflect has been incredible. Even stepping in here today was really, really powerful.
Yeah, we ask our guests, we force our guests to pray. No, not force, but yeah, we always pray before we get started. I mean, it's really, it's all prayer, you know?
Well, everything that we do and most of the groups that we work with are driven by the Spirit. And when that is shared, not only, you know, through Catholic Radio, but through the groups that we support and those whose message we get out there, you know, that's just one more way that we share and we spread the Spirit. And the further that spreads, the more you can have groups like what we have going at St. Vincent House.
Yes.
I have one quick story that I'd like you to share about the piano player. And she was a volunteer. And talk about that, because that was over around Christmas time.
Sure. We are very blessed to have the piano. We have a grand piano there that's beautiful, doesn't get played too often, and she wanted to play for an event. Well, it actually got canceled, and then I encouraged her to come back just during a meal time. It was kind of more the Christmas area with Christmas time, and she did, so that was great for the guests. So during dinner, there were some Christmas songs, and I think during that time, too, when you have someone that's in the hospital, it's even more difficult because you're not back home where, you know, you're normally with all your family and gathering for a Christmas or any type of services that you might have. And so that was so awesome for the families to hear some Christmas songs and be able to eat the meal and just enjoy around the piano.
So whatever your gifts and talents are, they can use them.
We can use them. Yes.
They'll put you to work at the St. Vincent House. It's www.givestvincent.org/St. V. House, or you can Google St. Vincent House. Connie Kripe, you've been our guest today. Connie Kripe, the director of St. Vincent House, thank you so much for the work you do, and we will be praying that all those people that come there that are get healing and comfort, and that you continue to do your great work there.
Thank you so much for having me.
God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.